late nights, early mornings. You are always racing against the clock. Lectures, tests, work, life, everything is pulling you in every single direction. You know it, and you know it well. You are not thriving. You are surviving. Is this what it takes to become a CA, you wonder? Drowning in exhaustion. How do you find balance when the journey demands everything? Once again, we are joined by Udo Boma, Senior Audit Assistant at Deloitte, an aspiring CA who finished second in his CTA class at the University of Pretoria and placed third in the Saika ITC in 2024. We chat about the key habits you need for a balanced study approach to optimize for longevity in your learning. We also chat about why you should always aim to be busy. Pretty counterintuitive. Very, very odd. How to stay energetic throughout your study sessions. How to write tests effectively. Quantity, quality, and cumulative study time. Consistency over intensity. A day in the life of a top student, and more. This one is so incredible for dialing in those study habits and, you know, some study approaches, or rather not study, but study life habits and study life approaches. So I hope you guys enjoy. It was incredible to do. Enjoy. My travelers on the road to CASA. Another very, very quick one. Entering test season these days. And now in PGDAS, that's what we're entering. And it just dawned on me, man. Like, the reason why I started this podcast was partly because I want people to know that I'm chowing too. Like, course is chowing me. You know the guy who's speaking on the show? Like, course is currently, it's currently doing its thing. It's taking its course. Yeah, and I just wanted to share that with you and to wish you strength and faith in whatever you're going to be embarking on. It could be tests, it could be the next few classes, whatever road you're on. It could be work. You know, that would be incredible to be speaking to people in the working world, trainees, CAs. But I hope that you are embracing every step and enjoying the journey, the road to CA and beyond. I hope that you enjoy this coming episode, and please do check out part one if you have not already. On to part two. I want to know where you get your energy from, because you are an energetic person naturally. Where does it come from and what do you get recharged by?
So, interesting question. The first thing is people. And I've noticed that this year, because now I get surrounded by people. Yeah. I love my, if you're listening, I love you guys, students. You're the best.
You're tax trainee.
Tax trainee, PG does. And interacting with them every day and being able to help them, not just academically, emotionally, everything, throughout this year, every single day, having that interaction and being able to just spend my time with people pretty much the whole day, not just sitting in my office.
Yeah.
Because obviously in the mornings, bit of office work, afternoons are consults. And half my work day, I'm just interacting with people.
Wow.
And I've noticed my whole mood during the day has improved. My energy's gone up. So for sure, people. And I'm very blessed to have been able to be an academic trainee because it's a fantastic year. And I'm sure there's a lot of people who are on the road to becoming a CA listening. If it's something that you like doing, helping people, interacting with people, academic training, it's for you. Like, and you never get that opportunity again. So that was fantastic. And yeah, it's being busy. And you actually think being busy is going to make you tired. But I hate sitting still doing nothing. And I get so frustrated. I hate just sitting on my phone.
Me too.
Watching reels. And I do it. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I do it.
But the moment you do it, you feel like nothing's moving. You feel like, you feel still.
Especially afterwards. In the moment, you're like, ha, this is funny. And then you notice 30 minutes has passed and I've literally done nothing. So that's why I play golf. I play tennis. I do a lot of sports. And apart from work, it's for me, every afternoon, I don't go home. I go do something. I tutor. I go play golf. I go practice. I go play paddle. Everyone knows
paddle. I haven't played paddle, Udo.
It's the best.
I need to play paddle.
And it's good exercise.
Yeah.
Because you think it's small, so you're not really going to run a lot. It's very good. But keeping busy and keeping my mind active, because as soon as your mind doesn't become active and you're just lying down, that's when you actually feel more tired. I don't know if you're not, again, we're in an academic environment. You've studied and you take a break and you go sit on your phone. When you want to start studying again, you're actually more tired than when you stop studying.
Yeah.
And I noticed, and again, in PG Nice, I started doing this. In my breaks, I started, everything's going to relate to golf because that's what I do. But in my study breaks, I started going into the garden and just hitting a few golf balls. Obviously, it's can't hit a full shot, but a small shot.
Just little and, putts or
yeah, chips. A little chip. And, I was playing chess or something. And I'm not good at chess.
Just to get your mind out of the
it's space. It's keeping my mind active because as soon as I'm going lying down and watching series, when I need to start studying again, I'm more tired than I was before. So the big thing is keeping my mind active. And that was how I got my energy. And that's also why I felt like that balance was so important for me in my approach, because if I didn't have balance and I didn't get to do the other things I enjoyed, it was going to make my studying time much worse than it was with the balance. So, yeah, I think that sums it up pretty well.
Would you say your approach in general is more unorthodox?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. Look, if I listen to the reaction of other people, they're like, you're crazy. And I get it. Because, I guess if you say don't study the day before a test, people are going to say, why?
That's hectic.
And I did study a little bit, but not a full day.
You could have not studied.
Yeah.
You could have literally not touched a book.
There were times. And actually, the crazy, you know what made me do it more was, the crazy part is when I did that, I did better in the test. And again, people are going to think this guy's crazy. How does studying less make you write better? And the thing that it was for me, I always thought writing a test is just studying.
Yeah.
But I realized there's two elements to writing a test. It's studying, yes, because you need to know the work. You need to understand the work. Otherwise, you can pass the test. Pretty likely.
Yeah.
But the other part of writing a test is writing the actual test. So what I mean by that is, you need to be fresh in that test because it's 4 hours of focusing. So for me, if I studied 100% of the work, but I'm 50% awake in the test, I'm only applying 50% of my knowledge. But if I studied 90% of the work, but I'm 80% active in the test, then I'm getting 70%, 75%, whatever it might be. And I realized that as important as it was to study, it was equally as important for me to be able to apply my studying in that paper, because that's how you get your marks. It's you have the knowledge, now apply it in the test. And I didn't want to study to the point where I'm too tired to actually think and apply my knowledge, because writing a test is it's intense. It is tough.
It's actually like I think. So I used to joke back in like second year, first year even about tests. I'd be like, dude, it's just a piece of paper. Relax. It's a piece of paper. Which like was just my little joke to like just ease the nerves. But that paper, it's intense. And the 2 hours or four hours.
Even four nowadays.
That you're sitting there. It's something that many people can't do. Like literally people cannot do it. They've never done it. They could probably sit for an hour and a half straight doing something, dialed in. Not a lot of people do this.
And that's exactly, and so 4 hours, a lot of people can't do it normally. I'll tell you a bit more about it now. Me included there. I couldn't focus for 4 hours straight. But now imagine doing that if you studied 12 hours a day before the test and only slept 6 hours.
Yeah.
And we always talk about silly mistakes in tests. And you go through your test and you're like, how did I do it?
Mm-hmm.
And often I realized, this is why I did it. I studied for 12 hours. I didn't sleep enough. And I didn't think in the test because I was too tired to think. Or I lost focus.
Mm.
And so... Yeah. If we had a 4-hour test, I took a break in the test.
you were the crazy guy that walks outside the hall.
I went to the bathroom, whether I needed to or not,
yeah.
A minute break.
Mm.
And it was just, it's crazy because there goes a minute of your test.
Mm.
But if I take that minute break and I come in there fresh, I'm going to save 2 minutes of reading the question twice because I read it and I didn't focus. Now I have to read it again.
Mm.
So... for me, it was not a minute spent. It was a minute saved.
Yeah.
Or in shorter tests, I didn't go to the bathroom because it felt like a waste of time at times. But I always brought sweets into the venue.
Yeah.
And well, my one mate used to crucify me for it because he said, you make noise when you open those sweets. And I apologize for that for anyone riding my venue. But literally sitting for, it was 15 seconds.
Mm.
And I would sit there, eat a few sweets, forget about the test I'm writing. And then when I went back, I was like, I'm zoned in again.
Mm.
Because focusing for 4 hours is difficult.
Mm.
Like, think in your daily life, and you're studying. Can you study for 4 hours straight?
Never.
Never. I couldn't.
Mm.
So now imagine a test is even more intense than studying. Imagine doing that.
Mm.
Even at work, I can't focus for 4 hours straight. I go buy a coffee or go chat to someone.
Mm.
Because it's very difficult to have that prolonged period of intense focus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, 10 seconds just to snap out of it and reset was very helpful.
Mm.
And again, resting the day before meant that my focus levels could be longer than what it would be if I didn't. So I think it's so important that we realize that it's not just studying, it's writing as well. There's two elements of passing the year. It's writing the test and studying.
Mm.
And you need to be able to do both. So getting that balance between those two also was a big shift in mindset that helped, I think, a lot of us. Because it's not just me. It's we spoke about it regularly between all of us. And I think even the lecturers told us, don't study that. Like, we had the mock ITCs now.
Mm-hmm.
We got told last year and they got told again this year, don't study the day before the test because it's 3 days in a row that you're writing now.
Sure.
So... get in there fresh, because if you get into day one tired, it's going to be a long, long road. Because it's not just studying, it's writing as well. So, yeah.
Very unorthodox. So now there's the study side and the writing side. I want to go into the study side. Because I think I also want to give more context to it. Because maybe people think, Udo, just rest. He's a different breed, you know. Okay, so on the study side, I want to get into the idea of volume, quantity, and quality, right? Of hours. So in terms of quality, I think you've been touching on it.
Yeah.
On making sure that you're rested before the sessions, making sure that you don't go for 4 hours straight. You're not going to have a proper session. Mm. On the quantity point, I think I just want to zoom out and give some context to you. I was chatting to you earlier. Udo, when did you start working consistently in the course?
Sure. Very, just on the quality, I'm really, again, as an academic trainee, passionate about it.
Mm.
Because a lot of people say, I was at my desk for 10 hours.
Yeah.
But how many hours did you put in? So I try to be at my desk for 8 hours a day,
mm-hmm.
but put in eight productive hours. Not 8 hours and 4.
And you don't even get that. You don't even get 8. Maybe it's 7.5.
But it's productive.
But it's productive.
Exactly. And then you actually end up... the hours at your desk are less, which means you have more time for other things.
Mm.
But you actually end up studying more than you would have if you weren't productive.
Mm.
So that's so important. But consistency, first year.
Yeah.
Obviously, I said I worked a little bit too little in first year.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't that I did nothing.
Mm.
And I think in our degree, it builds.
It builds. One week.
In the ITC, we got second year tax.
Like, oh!
20 marks on it.
Oh my.
And we didn't get taught it again. In third year honors. So, if you didn't work in second year, you wouldn't have known how to answer that question.
Mm.
And in our degree, it builds. Even in most topics, we do a little bit in second year, then we build on that in third year, then we build even more on that in PGDAS. But it's not all of a sudden PGDAS, it's all these new topics. We still do groups, we still do IFRS 9, we still do revenue. I'm just thinking accounting now, but it's just building on what you learned previously. So if you have your basis covered from the second year work, and I understand the second year work, in third year, you don't have to relearn second year and do the new third year stuff.
Mm.
Now you've got your third year base. In PG DAS, you don't have to relearn the third year stuff and the new PG DAS stuff because sometimes there isn't time.
Yeah.
So because it builds so much, it's so important that you work from maybe not day one. You can enjoy your student life a bit, but...
Look, work from day one, but it's just like, as you've mentioned, you don't have to work 24/7.
Exactly.
It just has to be a productive 4 hours.
That's very true.
First year, you could get by with 4 hours productively.
Easily.
Every
because
day.
Because it's just, look, there's EKN and that stuff.
Even it's with just those, accounting. It could it's be just, 4 hours.
But the big one is, they do Buzz now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They actually have really
But it's still
really
actually
good
just, I don't know if the new syllabus has auditing and stuff in first year. I'm not sure.
Mm.
But when I studied, it was, in first year, it was only accounting.
Yeah.
But accounting was the one that pulled
through. I think they do have some auditing. I think first year, they actually ramp it up now.
Okay, so maybe not four.
Maybe six.
Maybe six. But those ones that pull through all the way, like accounting was for us, it builds.
Yeah.
So everything you do in first year, you're going to do in second year, but with a bit more detail.
Yeah.
So working throughout makes your studying life so much easier in the long run.
And I think on that... If we look at it, I think accounting in a lot of ways, because it's a numbers subject, it's all about quantity and speed. Like you really are, you do the value that people pay you for is your ability to do these things at pace, really, as an accountant and as a numbers guy. Therefore, it really does a lot of ways in the input output equation of input and marks. So hours put in and marks. It comes down to cumulative hours a lot. A lot of the time, it comes down to cumulative hours. And although, you know, you spend only 8 hours and then this guy spends 10 hours every day, you've been doing it since first year. Mm-hmm. And I think people, just to put it into context, if we were to do some numbers, maybe doing 10 times the work than me based off of the fact that in first year, you put in effort. So let's say in first year, I put in 20 hours. You put in 100. So now we're already 80 hours apart in terms of our performance ability. Now those numbers are obviously those are very low numbers, but I'm just giving you an example, an illustrative example. It builds up. And so the real thing that you need to be looking for is not intensity, but consistency. That is really the thing that's going to change the game for you. If you can now, from mid-year, because it's around, you know, mid-year, July-ish.
Yeah.
If you can start from now and just not stop. It doesn't have to be intense. It doesn't have to be like you're putting in 12 hours every day. Just don't stop. Come in every day. Exactly. A lot will change.
It does. And again, PG DAS, you almost don't have a choice but to do it.
Yeah.
Because the workload is higher.
Mm.
But most of us, myself included,
mm.
very easily fell into that trap of, I do the class, I go to the lecture, then I forget about that work until the test week comes, and then I start studying it again.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if there's someone that hasn't done it, props to you, but I don't think there's someone. We've all done it. And again, and it makes so much sense what you're saying now about hours. Because if you put in the hours that week that you did the lecture, now before the test, you have to do less hours.
Mm.
So everyone's like, how much did you study the day before? 4 hours.
Exactly.
I did 10. How did you do better than me?
Exactly. In that because, week, you did how much?
I don't know. Well, you know, whatever it might be, 10
eight.
Hours. Yeah.
Let's say 8 times
that 8
5.
You did more than me the day before, just hypothetically.
Mm.
I did in the week. When we did that lecture. So I already had my base.
You did a lot more,
in
fact.
Yeah.
You did a lot more.
So that is very powerful. Mm. I haven't thought of it that way.
Intensity versus consistency is the takeaway, guys. What was a day in your life back in undergrad and back when you were studying? What was a day in your life? Because, and we spoke about this earlier, but I'm going to slightly paraphrase a Steve Jobs quote. It's only by saying no that you can create the things that matter most and concentrate on the things that matter most. What was the day in your life in throughout that time? Because I think it will be valuable to see, you know, what was Udo not doing?
What was he not doing?
Yeah.
Ha. Sure. That's an interesting question. Because you don't think about what you weren't doing.
Mm.
I would say, about saying no, I wasn't saying no to everything,
mm-hmm.
but I was saying no to the wrong things.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I can't think of something off the top of my head. I would say yes to go play golf because I knew that was my retreat. It was the way I could reset my head, get outdoors, get some fresh air for a few hours, and then jump back in.
Mm.
And in PG Dice, it was half an hour that I just left home, hit balls, came back.
Mm.
I was saying yes to the things that were contributing positively to my life. Exercising, playing golf, stuff like that. Going out with family, because that's important as well.
Mm.
I know a lot of people said they don't have dinner with their family anymore, which to me is crazy. If people, and they're staying at home.
Mm.
They said they don't have time.
Mm.
But that's the type of stuff you need to make time for, because for your emotional well-being, that's so important. So what I was doing was I was saying yes to things that were contributing positively to my life and my studies, but saying no to the things that were not.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in third year or in post, yeah, third year at PG Dice, I would only do something with my friends or go out, whatever it might be, after tests.
Okay.
In a holiday,
mm-hmm.
or if it was more than 2 weeks before a test.
Okay.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be. Because it's not that it's bad for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, emotional well-being, it's very good to see your friends. But for me, 2 weeks before a test, there's nothing positive that's going to happen for your studies and your life if you are going out.
Mm.
Or the week before a test. And for me, it was just saying no then, because what people don't realize is you say it's only that night that, let's say, I'm not going to be studying, but it actually becomes the next day often as well.
Mm.
And I know a lot of people relate to that. So for me, it became not saying no to everything, but saying no to the things that were happening at the wrong time, or only saying yes to things that were happening at the right time.
Mm.
So if it wasn't the right time for me to go away for the weekend or go do something with my friends, I don't know, go play paddle or whatever.
Mm.
If it wasn't the right time for me to be doing it because I knew in that moment I had to be doing work, I would say no. Mm. But the key is not saying no to everything.
Mm.
Because again, if your whole life just becomes studying, not having dinner with your family, not doing anything you enjoy, you are going to resent your degree, you're going to resent your studying, and then it's just going to end negatively.
Yeah.
So, yeah, saying no to the right things, but not saying no to everything. Because there needs to be some form of balance. For some more than others, but we all need a bit of balance in our life.
That rule of thumb, I think that for me was something that I'm learning from, and I might even take into my own life, of 2 weeks out from a test, nada. Because you've got that flow, you need to keep it. You need focus, especially PG Dice. You need a lot of focus. And after a test, you may be, you know, those are the particular times. It's like, okay, guys, let's go out.
Because we need to relax.
Mm.
You can't just be full speed the whole time.
Mm.
And again, even 2 weeks before a test, it wasn't saying no to everything.
Mm. Mm.
It was, if I need to be working now, and tomorrow I'm going to be working, I'm going to say no to whatever it might be. So if I know that it's not the right time for me to do this because I need to knuckle down, I need to get the work done. If I know that's what I have to do, then I'm going to say no. But yeah, so the type of things that weren't contributing positively to my life and my well-being at that time, I would say no to. Because a lot of stuff we do is nice to do, but in that moment, it's not positive. Like, yeah, whatever it might be, but if it's a study day and you're doing something else, it might be positive for you having fun, but it's not positive towards your studies. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just about when when the time when there's a time to do work and there's a time to not do work. Yeah. And you need to build that in however you want to. Like, I built it in Sunday morning before Monday CV, I'm playing golf. That's non-negotiable. I'm doing that. But I built that in so that I could also build in when I needed to study. So saying no to the wrong, saying yes to the right things, saying no to the wrong things.
Mm. Yes, in the short term is appeasing your friends. It's appeasing those, your family, even if they are distracting you. It's going to appease you now. It's going to hurt you in the long term. No is very painful today.
It's hard to do.
Someone's inviting you, like, hey, dude, come out, bro. And you're like, nah. Now you're not cool with the guys. Or, hey, man, have a drink. But you know that you're having a diet season. You're trying to, you know, get fit. You're going to have to say no if you want, in the long term,
yeah,
that body, that dream body.
Exactly.
You know?
That's, and, yeah.
And also on that, yeah, no... Yes and no. No is a long-term strategy. Yes is a short-term strategy. It's very much so.
And it, and like you said, it becomes hard because a lot of our non-accounting friends don't realize often the hours you have to put in.
Mm.
And I remember it used to be like, we never see you anymore.
Yeah.
Why aren't you coming to play paddle with us? Why aren't you coming to do this with us? I can't remember the last time I saw you. And again, that makes it so hard to say no because it's like, I miss my friends, which is natural.
Mm.
But if you can see it, after I'm done with this degree, I can see them as much as I want to.
Mm.
A lot of my non-accounting friends and I, we almost have a weekly thing now where I see them on a Friday afternoon or Saturday afternoon.
Wow.
Just because it's not making up for lost time.
Mm.
But it's now I have the luxury to see them every week. And that's knowing that I couldn't do it last year makes it so much nicer to be like, let's go... Do whatever.
Yeah.
Let's go watch a movie. Let's go do something. Because now I get to do that with you. And that's so nice.
Mm.
But again, at the time, no is hard, but it's worth it.
And I want to close off this no point. I want to reframe it. It's not no. It's yes to the thing that matters most. Today.
There we go.
The
thing yes.
That it's not no. It's yes to the things that matter most. You have to say no to the movie. You have to say no to the game. You have to say no to that party because this is going to end in CASA.
Exactly.
This is going to end.
And it's so that you can say yes to your exercise. Like you said, if you're building that dream body.
Yes.
Or it's so you can say yes to going for dinner with your family, or whatever it might be.
Mm.
But having the luxury to do the things that matter most to you because it can't just be study.
No.
It's impossible. Like, no, we can't live life like that.
Yeah.
So saying no hurts, but it makes it possible to say yes to the things that matter most to you.
Mm. Mm. Oof, powerful. Perfect. Perfect.
I'm using that.
Udo, okay. You did want to mention this, so let's chat about this. Save the Rhino. You wanted a shout out, Save the Rhino. Yes. I also need to learn a little bit about it, what they do, so that we can raise some awareness around it.
Yeah. So not accounting related.
Yeah, of course.
But I'm a big nature person.
Although you could get into it as a CA. They need a numbers guy.
You could.
Yeah.
You could. if they pay well. I'm we are still numbers people. No, yeah. I'm kidding. But I'm a big nature person. I don't know why I'm saying this on a podcast that people will listen to. I not only like watching animals. I'm a bird guy.
Mm.
I enjoy seeing the new birds that everyone's been looking for, whatever it might be. And my favorite animal is the rhino.
Okay.
Just growing up and going to the Kruger and seeing these powerful things with their horns. And now if you go to the Kruger, their horns are cut because they get poached.
Mm.
And it's literally saving them from going extinct, which to me is crazy because... It's like it's not just a symbol of our country. This is a wonderful like being that was here way before us, firstly. And it's very close to me. I just can't fathom. And again, certain people have beliefs that it's medicinal. I know in Southeast Asia, for example, I've read lots of books on rhinos as well. Mm-hmm. I think more than I can even count. Mm. And that's what fuels it. And again, the people poaching them are low income earners and they need it to sustain their families.
Mm-hmm.
So I sympathize, But for me, it's so difficult to fathom that we're killing these wonderful creatures. And it's literally going to the point where we can't see them how they actually look with their horns. Because if they had their horns, they wouldn't be alive. And yeah, it's something I'm very passionate about. So I thought now that I'm on the podcast, I can share it.
Yeah.
But Save the Rhinos is literally it's a welfare organization. They raise funds. They support anti-poaching. They do a whole bunch of conservation efforts specifically for rhinos.
Mm.
And yeah, I just think it's so important because our country, I love our country. I've said, everyone's like, I'm leaving.
Everyone wants to leave.
Let me not say I hate it, but there's a 0% chance I leave this place because it's home. It is home. And a rich part of it is our nature, which is not just tourism, good for the economy, but that's what makes our country so beautiful. I mean, Cape Town, the oceans, Table Mountain. Our game viewing is, everyone comes here.
Kruger.
And
I mean, Sun City looks beautiful.
Even
because of the greenery. I love all the nature that surrounds it.
And it's literally a national park surrounding it.
Yeah.
We went there the other day. Amazing place.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's a part of our country. If you think rhino, you're not thinking anywhere else. You're thinking South Africa or elephant for that matter. So it's just something I'm passionate about. And if you can donate, if you have the means to donate, hopefully there's some.
We'll link it in the show notes.
Some balling CAs that can. I can't donate that much yet. first year trainee salary. But if you can, it's great. And they need all the help they can get because if you go and look at the numbers, it's dropping.
Udo, to close us off, we always do this. If you could go back to, you know, high school, first year, second year, Udo, what would you tell him?
Sure. That's deep to think about. Actually, I don't know how much time we have left, but at my school, you go on a hike for 21 days in the wilderness. And it's called The Journey.
I've heard of that. Yes.
The Journey. On the journey, they make you write a letter that you get to open in a year's time. So you seal that letter, you open it in a year's time, and in that letter, you write where you want to be. And I can't remember what I wrote in the letter. I don't know where it is, actually. I wish I could go back and read it. But just thinking about that, I remember the one thing that I told myself there is I hope that you enjoy life experiences to the fullest. And I still, if I could go back, I tell high school self, enjoy life experiences to the fullest because life is there to be lived. And it's cliche or it's deep or whatever, but it is because we're here for a set amount of time. And I think we need to just enjoy our time here as much as we possibly can. So that's what I would go back and tell myself. And yes, having a job, having a career, that is essential to in enjoying life for me personally. So yes, study. But at the same time, make sure you enjoy the other parts of life because life's there to be lived and we need to make sure that we experience as much as we can on Earth. So a bit deep, but I think very important. So I think that's what I would tell myself is enjoy yourself and say yes to the right things.
Yeah.
There we go. What was it? That's what we said, right? Yeah. Saying yes to the things that matter most to you. There we go. I think
it's not no, it's saying yes to the things that matter most.
And I think, honestly, that's the one thing I would tell myself. To put it in perspective.
Enjoy it. Less work, more vocation, you know? Pursue a vocation. I think we live in such a great world that you really can pursue your passions. You really can. Even if you have a job and concurrently you're working part-time, doing the thing that you love, at every level, at every stage of the game, even in CTA.
You said you want to start farming?
Yeah. I mean,
Are you doing it while you're studying still?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's probably something you're passionate about. It's something you want to do. And we're not going to scrap our studying, I'm guessing.
Of course not.
But it's going to be, I'm studying because that is important for me. Future, but at the same time, I'm going to enjoy something and I'm going to enjoy my passion because that is something that matters to me. and it's with my brother, it's my family.
Mm.
So it's not sacrificing everything that you enjoy in life for that end goal of becoming a CEO of whatever. It's doing that, yes, but at the same time, making time for the things you enjoy.
Enjoy it, guys. Enjoy the journey. Please don't forget that there's a life to be lived.
Exactly.
If you have not already done so, please, Ndakcela, so please follow this and share this with other aspiring CAs. This was, in my opinion, like value-packed, one of the most value-packed sessions we've had. Just nuggets of wisdom everywhere. Your story, Udo, it's absolutely inspirational. And I think a lot of people can take a great perspective from today. A really valuable one to say that a top achiever is a human being and there's a strategy behind it. So take what you will from it, guys. Take the strategies that Udo's blessed us with and apply some of it into your life, whatever works. I hope it does not end, but that it begins in CASA. Thank you, Udo, brother.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was a pleasure.